giving thanks to God the Father through him. What's in a name? I guess it depends on what name you're talking about. My name is not all that significant. However, the name of Jesus, as we heard through the testimony, changes everything, and with good reason. You know, we have to understand that if you're going to have an effective Christian life, you need to know and need to rest in what God has done for you as a believer in Christ through the Lord Jesus Christ. That forms the foundation of our life and the response to our life. Only as you understand and rest in how God has acted in Christ toward you and toward me, and what we are in him, and how Christ is able to work in us and through us for his glory, is to really see how this verse can be fulfilled in your life and mine. You know, we think of every aspect of our salvation. We need to consider that Jesus Christ has done it all. He's placed us in his Son, and in his Son is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, everything you need to live on earth in a way that honors the Lord and benefits you is in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 tells us you've died with Christ. You've died. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You're complete in Christ. You're completely accepted in Christ. And when you're thinking properly, you're going to recognize that because you're in Christ, it's not about you anymore. It's not about your performance. It's not about your status in life or your perceived self-worth on a human level by comparison. You've been given in Christ all things to pertain in life and godliness. You are the object of his perfect love in which no one can separate you from. He's your life, he's your security, he's your all in all. And that's why the chapter begins with the commands to seek those things which are above and to set your mind on him. You know, we hear a great deal in our day and age about our self-worth, self-esteem, self-image. Many psychologists focus on self-worth with the goal of trying to get people to simply feel good about themselves. And yet, that's not really the focus of true Christianity. See, the focus of true Christianity is Christ. And we're told earlier in this epistle that Christ is in you and he's the hope of glory. Paul said in these words, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer about me. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so living the Christian life is all about Christ. It's not about you doing things for God in your own strength. It's allowing who you are in Christ, and you're filled in Christ, and you're allowing him to work in you and through you so that Christ is actually manifested in your life. So that what is done in his name for his glory. You know, verse 17 is at the end of a paragraph which begins in verse 12. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, you're to put on Christ. This is what it means to put on Christ. You put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering. Those are attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're putting on Christ, the mind of Christ is going to be manifested in you and through you. This is how you are to think. To have, I like how the King James says it, bowels of mercies. It says tender mercies here. As the bowels were considered in this day and age to be the inner you. And so, as you're walking in Christ and allowing Christ to fill you and thrill you, tender mercies is going to be on your mind. Kindness is going to be on your mind. A humble mindset, seeing yourself in light of the grace of God, is going to be on your mind. You're going to recognize that you have nothing to boast in and of yourself. Humility allows us to recognize that we fail miserably. I thank God every day for his grace because I fail so miserably daily. Mercy. And because I'm in Christ and because I'm perfectly accepted, I can be honest with him with my failures. I can admit when I'm wrong. Your flesh would rather die than admit it's wrong. Your flesh is fighting for its very life. It's fighting for its perception. It's fighting for its way. And Christ says, you know what? I am complete in him. those things are insignificant. Meekness is mentioned here. Strength under control. A willingness to allow Christ to be your all, and therefore you can be who God would have you to be regardless of your circumstances. And then he mentions their long-suffering or patience, and that's the word that speaks of our reactions and responses toward people, not circumstances. As you recognize that Christ has been so patient with you as you rest in who you are in Christ, that same patience that God exhibits toward you can be exhibited toward someone else. Christianity is about Christ. And when that's true, what's it going to look like? The next verses talk about one another's. When I'm having the mind of Christ, as I put on Christ, as I allow Christ to be manifest himself through me, I'm going to be bearing with one another, verse 13. I'm going to be forgiving one another. I'm not going to be holding a grudge. I'm not going to be pounding someone into the ground. I'm not going to let bitterness spew out of my mouth. It says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to forgive because Christ has forgiven me. And I love verse 14. It says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's like the belt that holds all these other characteristics together. Amazing. And so he mentions these things, and he talks about the importance of the peace of God ruling in your heart and the importance of the word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. And he summarizes this paragraph in verse 17. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The command is to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with thankfulness to God and the Father. There's a lot here. You know, this verse actually functions as a summary statement of what we read in verses 12 through 16, and it also functions as a hinge to what's going to go forward. Because the next section, beginning in verse 18, through chapter 4 and verse 6, is all about your words and what you do. Verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed. Verse 18 following is word and deed. It's husbands submitting, your wives submitting to your husbands, and husbands loving your wives. It's children. These are things that you speak and do. It's about fathers and parents. It's about you on the job and so forth. It's about how you function as a boss or someone in authority. It talks about prayer. Again, words and doing. He's talking about really every aspect of your life. Christ is your life. Christ is to be manifested in you and through you. This is what this looks like. Because he's your life. And so in verse 17, we have three features involved in this command. The scope of the command is what? It's captured in two words. Whatever you do, and do all. So you got whatever, you got all. This covers the whole gamut. What you're doing might be in word as well as deed. There's no secular sacred split here. He's talking about every facet of your being. Your new creation in Christ. And so how you do whatever it is you are doing is something that concerns the Savior. The Savior is to be part of everything you do and everything you say. Well, that's kind of humbling, isn't it? You know, we're told in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, that in all things Jesus Christ is to receive the preeminence. And because Christ is in you, the Spirit of God and the new nature are seeking to use you as a vessel to give him the preeminence in all things. You're to consider him in everything you do and in everything you say. And the object of the command is the name of the Lord Jesus. He is the center and focus of this command. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus. This is the name by which salvation is. Acts 4:12 tells us, Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. At this name, everyone in the future is going to bow the knee, as Philippians 2 tells us. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. You know, think of the name here. It's the name of Jesus is to dictate the motive and goal of everything you do. You know, the thing about Christianity is it's not legalistic do's and don'ts. It's a relationship, as Dick mentioned. And Christ is the focus of it all. He's the motive behind what you do, and he's the goal of everything you do. See, the Spirit of God is in you. And Jesus Christ said when he walked on this earth that the Spirit of God is there to glorify Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit of God is working in you, not so that you can throw your weight around and have everyone notice you and to get things on your terms, on your way. It's to exalt Jesus Christ. You know, the concept of doing something in someone's name has been misunderstood by the church. A lot of times, people will cite John 14, verses 13 and 14. I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. But notice, there's a goal in asking, first of all, that the Father would be glorified in the Son. I mean, so many people just have this concept that you throw in Jesus' name on the end of something and that's, you know, it's like some kind of magic formula of some kind, which is completely unbiblical. No, I mean, 1 John 5 complements this whole thing. It says, now this is the confidence we have in Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of him. You know, when you're praying in Jesus' name, you're asking for the will of God to be done. So that phrase becomes a summation and a reflection of all that Jesus Christ is, all he stands for, and all the glory he's worthy of. I'm seeking to exalt his name. When I'm praying in Jesus' name, for example, I'm praying under his authority. I'm asking God the Father through him, because if I come to the Father, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3, I have access and boldness only through the Son. Hebrews chapter 10 mentions the same thing. So I'm praying for the will of God to be done. I'm praying for him to be glorified. That's where my focus and interest is. I'm not praying for the gimme so I can consume something upon my lust. That's praying in my name, not Jesus' name. And so if I'm doing what I do in Jesus' name, I'm saying I want him to be honored. I want him to take center stage. I want him to be glorified in it all. I want him to be manifested in me and through me. It's his strength that rises to the top. You know, if you're doing something in the name of Jesus, I mean, logic, it says that, you know what, I'm doing it with care. I'm doing it with some sincerity. I'm not doing a lousy job because Christ is in it. It changes everything. This is why I've said several times, you can do the most thankless job on the planet, it's on to Jesus Christ and he'll be honored in it. That can motivate and energize you because it's your privilege to do whatever you're doing in his name. Are you allowing the Spirit of God to give you that perspective? Or do you look at life like the unsaved and everything's a pain in the neck? And that if we were to compare your words with the unsaved words, that the same amount of complaining that comes out of the unsaved mouth is the same amount of complaining that comes out of your mouth. And you're not thankful. You think you're entitled to something better than what you have. How many times have I said, you know what, we're not in hell today. This is a great day, regardless of how it's going circumstantially. This is why, if you're going to think, if you're going to do Christianity, you've got to think. And you've got to think about your Savior. And you've got to think on things above. And you need to set your mind on things above. And I bog down and I get out of whack and I screw myself into the ground when I focus on the horizontal instead of the vertical. And I assume it's identical to you. You know, doing all that you do in the name of Jesus means it's done in thankfulness to God. This is a present participle. It's done in conjunction with the command. So if I'm doing something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I'm doing with? I'm doing it with a thankful heart. I'm doing it with a thankful heart. Thankfulness is to be the very characteristic that runs through everything I'm doing. Changes everything. It's consistent with seeing Him honored. You know, when you're stopping and thinking about who you are in Christ, you're stopping and thinking about all the riches that are yours in Him, the fact that you've got a Savior that will never leave you or forsake you in the midst of a very lonely and cruel world. You have a Savior that promises to work all things together for good. You can always rest in His sovereign care. He makes no mistake. He does all things well. He knows the end from the beginning. He says His grace is sufficient for you at every turn. He's saying, though you deserve hell and you deserve nothing, I've given you all things in Christ. And you've got everything you're going to need till I come to take you home. See, this verse is powerful if you allow it to affect how you look at life. It can give you purpose in the midst of difficulty and purpose in the midst of chaos, as you can thank God for the things that are awful and difficult and hard, because He's with you in it, and He'll give you the grace you need so every moment can count. It energizes you as you focus on Him and His personal care for you and who you are in Christ, especially, again, when your circumstances are screaming out, you have every right to complain, you have no reason to be thankful. You know, does the Lord know everything you're going through? Does He know it intimately? You know, when Christ walked on the earth, He had all kinds of difficulties. He dealt with all kinds of difficult people. He was hated by His own people. He was betrayed by a friend. He was falsely accused. He was physically tortured. He knows everything you're feeling, and yet He says, I'm with you. I will give you guidance and comfort in every situation. I will lead you in My wisdom to deal appropriately with the difficulties in your life. And how many of us forfeit that, and we take the posture of the unsaved because we're not thinking on things above. We're not recognizing the privilege it is for me to redeem this time and thank God for the miserableness in my life right now. Changes everything. You know, when Jesus walked on this earth, He had one objective. That was to do the will of God and please the Father. He says, I always do those things that please the Father. So are you thankful here? You know, because we've got sin natures, almost invariably we default to the complaining. We default to the negative in our life. You know, if I'm thinking on things above, you know what's going to thrill my soul? The characteristics of Christ, like tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. The privilege to forbear with one another. The privilege to forgive one another. Because I'm so thrilled with how Christ is treating me. You know, there's no shortage of people in your life that need forbearing. You help people, you bend over back for people, you do what you can to people, they don't even notice. And instead of saying thanks, they find fault with what you did. And so what do? You love them like Christ loved you, because I can do whatever it is I'm doing, and I can do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, if you're one of those people that by nature finds fault with everything, let me encourage you to be a positive influence in the face of the negative. And again, it's easy to point out what's wrong with something because there's a lot of things wrong with a lot of things. And anybody can do that. But because you have Christ and because it's your privilege to honor him, whatever you do in word or deed, I can rise above the situation and give God thanks and be even a vehicle for change as I positively influence those around me. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Recognizing how Christ is treating you in grace and the privilege you have of having the same mind through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. This is kind of powerful, isn't it? Whatever you do in word or deed, let me just challenge you to think about that. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus with a thankful heart. I guarantee you that if you do that by faith, as unto the Lord, you're going to have peace in your soul. And you'll count your blessings, name them one by one. Read a little blurb this week. It said, don't complain about the thorns among the roses. Be grateful for the roses among thorns. Plenty of thorns around. Your local church can be like a couple of porcupines. The closer they get to each other, the more they stick it to one another. And yet we need each other, don't we? That's how God designed this thing. So as you even think of Thanksgiving and you think about, let me encourage you to stop and just take a minute or two to thank God. And the hustle and bustle of everyone trying to cram everything in the holiday week and just stop for a second and thank God for his grace, his mercy, and choose to be a vessel of Christ to the unthankful people in your life. You just don't know. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful again for just the Word of God. It's alive, it's powerful. Help us all to truly comprehend in a very intimate way the love Christ has for us, the sacrifice he made for us, and the riches and the wisdom he's put within us through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God, so we can be vessels unto honor. We can do all that we do, whatever it is we do, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What a privilege it is to be called yours. What a privilege it is to redeem the time. So give us grace and wisdom to that end for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.